Startup Unscripted. The questions you have with the truths you need to hear.
Help doctors get into practice the way they want to get into practice. Hashtag truth. That's why we put it out there. What we want to do is we want to bring truth to the startup game.
And now your host, Michael Dencio.
All right, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Startup Unscripted. Guys, thanks so much for being part of this program. I just wanted to have a little grateful moment in that here we're at the end of 2023, heading into 2024, and super grateful for you guys. Thanks for plugging in and listening to what we're saying on this thing. I really hope it's a benefit to you, and I just wanted to say thank you for, you know, being a part of the program and being part of the community. But without further ado, let's just get right into it. So this is Startup Unscripted. My name is Michael Dencio, co-founder of Next Level Consultants. And on this program, it's all things startups. And we are walking all the way through the start of a startup all the way through the end. And then now we're getting ready to boot right back up. This is kind of part of the Encore series. So when I say Encore, if you see Encore, that means that it's kind of a product or a service that's important to you after you're open. So again, understanding what we're trying to do, episodes, you know, from the very beginning was starting at the top of a startup and going through construction, architecture, demographics, all the way through. And then we're starting back up at the top. But anytime you see that Encore, that's a service that you're probably going to be interested in post-close. So, and this is part of that Encore series. So today, without further ado, let me just get into introducing our guest. And we're going to have a great conversation today. It's something that's super important to startups. But today I have Corey Peiniger with Reach, which is a very successful and large dental call servicing organization. Corey owns the company. And I've been referring to them for a while now. And it's so important because you guys need to have your phones covered. And Corey has a great solution for that. Corey, welcome to the show, man. Thanks for being a part of the program. I know you're a little sick today. So if you don't bring the energy, I get it. But thanks for being on.
No, we will. We're going to bring the energy and we're going to take a nap after. It's a methodical play.
Well, if I see you hitting the NyQuil during, I'm not going to judge you. So if you take a little knee later, that's fine. That's fine.
No, first of all, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure. Worked in the dental community for the last 9 years and really love what's happening and the progress that's taking place. So it's an absolute pleasure to be here.
Yeah, man. Well, tell us a little bit about Reach. I know you guys rebranded, but Reach is the way it goes today. And just give us a little bit of what you guys do. I know call servicing is kind of the one thing, but you got some other things too. So what's the 30-second kind of elevator pitch?
Yeah. So if we actually go beyond the call servicing, we're about helping practices maximize their missed opportunities. There are so many mundane things that take place every single day in a practice that no one loves to do. No one loves calling Delta Dental and sitting on hold for 45 minutes. Or
amen.
No one loves picking up every phone call that comes through. Those are not easy, but that's where efficiency and better patient experience is driven within a practice. So as a company, there is so many sexy technology companies today. We're almost everything but that, where we focus on simple missed opportunities and providing patients a great experience that drives into better revenue and better profit and more peace of mind within the practice.
Dude, amen. You just literally, like, if I were to throw a softball up, you just crushed, like, you literally crushed that, because that is totally talking my language. I don't think that my clients, our clients, and startups in general appreciate how important what you said, how important that is, because as a startup, you're not going to have a lot of opportunities because you're a scratch startup. You'll be lucky if you got 35 new patients your first month. You're used to 35 patients in a week, or maybe even some crazy practices a day. And so, like, it's all about maximizing and efficiency. You just nailed it. I will add to that wages. So as a startup, you have no revenue. So managing your expenses that's like everything. That's like so important. I guess my first, gosh, I could go into 100 different directions. So Corey, give us like, if you're putting your startup hat on, and I think you said you had over 300 employees picking up calls and doing the services you do. Is that right?
That's correct.
So you're in the business of people. And so your overhead, we're sharing your overhead. If we're taking on your services, we're kind of sharing that overhead with you. But like, what do you see as like the one thing that why someone would want to hire you guys for a call service as a startup? Well, you give me your kind of like pitch, because they could listen to me all day long, but I kind of want to hear what you got to say.
Yeah. So most people actually are hiring us to start about 6 to 4 weeks before the practice even opens, because nice. Someone's going to be driving by, your sign is going up at that time. And your first week, you want to have the most successful opening possible. Money mm-hmm. is being spent starting day one. And so now having someone in the practice for $15 to $25 an hour in total during that 4 to 6 weeks before is incredibly expensive. We charge per call. It's about $6 per call that rolls through to us. And so it allows practices to capture those new patient opportunities while at the same time not be spending an enormous amount of money with an on-site person and not the highest level of demand being there yet.
Yeah, totally. So that's interesting. So 4 weeks before you start, so before they start, you're picking up the calls. Because I always get the question, Mike, when someone calls from the banner that says grand opening or accepting a pay, what do I say? And we coach them through that, but let's be honest. Doctors aren't the greatest at taking those calls. Some are great, but most are not. So it's a perk, but it's a per call, and it's not a conversion, but it's a per call type situation.
Exactly. We charge around $6 per call. Now, the interesting thing is we report at the end of every month, because taking calls is great. Let's say you pick up 81 calls in a given month. Well, what actually matters is how many butts did we get into the chair? How many patients did we schedule? And how many of them showed up? So we provide a comprehensive end of the month report where it shows here are the 81 patients we spoke with. Here's their names. Here's what we spoke about. But then here's how many we scheduled. And then here's how many of them showed and how much did they actually spend? So that it's not like a theory conversation.
So it's production per the person that you drove to the practice, yes?
Yep, that we pull from the ledger in the practice management software.
Okay. Sorry, I interrupted you. I just wanted to get clarity on that. So essentially you're giving reporting on the calls that you're picking up and how much, and what the value of that particular call. Now, do you guys get bonused, or is there like some kind of, win-win situation where you'll get paid more per conversion, or is it just coverage? And that's okay if it's just coverage. I'm just asking, like, is there motivation for folks to drive people to the schedule? Does that make sense?
Really good question. So we don't change our pricing on that. What we do is we actually spiff each one of our reps who are answering the phone calls for each new patient and existing patient that they schedule. They also get saved, or they get spiffed to save a cancellation attempt. We didn't want to. I'm all about simplicity as a business owner. Yeah. And so if, you know, you came to our pricing and it's like, hey, we charge $5.15 per call. But then if we schedule a treatment appointment, it's $27 on top of that. We wanted to build a system where it's very easy to understand what's going on. But you're correct that our agents have to drive alignment of getting people scheduled.
Okay, so you guys are essentially doing some motivational factors behind the scenes if some of these metrics are better, because essentially, like, you could just have a bunch of you know, get a bunch of people on the schedule and then they don't show up, or, you know, fake calls. I mean, someone would have to go to some serious lengths for that, but essentially you do have some things on the back end for your team. That's cool. That's cool.
And the reality is we run month to month agreements, as I think most businesses should. And so if we're not driving butts in the chair that are delivering revenue and better healthcare to patients, practices have the right to walk away.
That's
and
right.
So every month we've got to go out there and earn our keep by delivering value and not just scheduled names or booked phone calls.
That's exactly our model as well at Next Level. So I feel like that's where it should be. The reality is you have to perform in this day and age, and I think competition's good. And so just all things performance driven third party services I'm a big fan, because you know, I half the time I can't get front office folks to pick up the right way or to convert the right way. And to me, if there's a company like yours that takes calls literally every single day, are they going to be better at it than probably your front office person? I mean, I'm saying your front office person is probably pretty good, finding that maybe they're not, they're average. But like, if you do something every single day, you're kind of the specialist at it. Am I crazy there? I mean, you guys should be better at it than the average person, are you?
Yeah, so this is actually a really good question. I would agree from all we do is pick up new and existing patient phone calls and attempt to book them. So we're very good there. Where we can sometimes not match the level of the practice, to be candid, is all of the nuances around minute questions. You had a question on a bill. Who does it get to? So there's some level of, when Susie calls the practice and Mike is at the front desk and he knows Susie, there's a relationship already built there. What we're very good at is taking new and existing patients and attempting to get them scheduled, where I would say we're not as good. And frankly, I've never seen a call center or a call service knock it out of the park, is all of the minute relationship and practice nuance details. We're working on getting there. I also am not a big believer in selling a used car. We're good at what we're good at, and that's scheduling people and getting them to show up to their appointments.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So I think a lot of the confusion with, or not confusion, that's the right, wrong word. I think a lot of like the mind block is like having a company represent you that's not you. And so like how do you guys create that connection, so to speak, when you're not part, in air quotes, part of that business or that practice? Like, what's that process like? Because I feel like if people understood that it's possible to create that bond, so to speak, then it's not as hard to hire someone that's outside the office.
So you're asking the most difficult question of what we have to conquer, and it all comes down to how we onboard a practice.
Yeah.
And it's the information that we collect where we can act as a cohesive unit. How is a new patient scheduled? How is a limited exam scheduled? How is a consultation scheduled? What insurances are in and out of network? Mm-hmm. To make that sound then very natural, we use a piece of technology that leads a natural conversation, so that when a person calls in, Corey Pinniger as an example, it would say, are you on the phone to our rep with a new patient, an existing patient, or other, such as Henry Schein? They click on that, and then, okay, you have a new patient on the phone. Are they looking for a hygiene appointment? Are they looking for a emergency exam? And it leads through this very natural flowing conversation. Instead of having a one pager with 998 words on it, we try to lead our reps through a very natural conversation where we're giving them practice specific information that they can relay to the patients as they need it, so that it's as natural and homey or family like as possible.
Yeah. Now, like when the patient has specific information or questions about something specific, how do you guys handle that? Like, I'm a patient, and I had a root canal last week, and I got some post-op questions. That doesn't get answered. How do you guys handle those things, right? Like, because I think also that could help my audience understand how this all navigates and works without, you know, major disruption to the normal practice?
Yeah. So number one, we attempt to handle everything that we can. I am a very anti, we're not a glorified answering service or a answering machine. So 90% of what we get on the phone has to be handled by us or we're doing a piss poor job. Now, what you just said is I had a root canal last week and I have some post-op questions. That is outside our scope.
Well, that's clinical, so there's, right?
Yeah. There's two different ways that we handle that. Number one is because we have the patient on the phone, we actually attempt to warm transfer them if during the business hours to the practice. So then, and it wouldn't sound clunky, but you would say, actually, hey, let me get you over to Mike, who is going to be better to answer these questions here. He is on our scheduling team or our patient care team. We would loop, you know, get a hold of you on the phone. Hey, Mike, we've got Cindy on the other line. Here are her questions. Great. We loop Cindy into the conversation and allow you to take it from there. Nice. Warm transfers are the best way so that it's not, oh, let me forward you to someone else. That's really clunky because someone's already explained to you.
Right.
Number two, in the situation where you're closed or we can't get a hold of the practice, we are then sending a text message and email through our service saying, urgent matter, here's the name. And then they can log into our portal where they're able to see everything that just took place, who they should be calling back, so on and so forth.
Ideally,
it's a warm transfer. If not, we're sending out certain urgent messages to those who are responsible.
Nice, nice. Okay, cool. So big picture, like how I, let's go back to how to ROI a service like this, because I think this is the, to me, like an ex-banker, this is where my head goes, right? So I always think about like, okay, Mike, how many people do I hire? How many hours? I can't miss phone calls. And their decisions of hiring team is always about covering the phones. But to be honest with you, and you kind of already said it, like to have someone sitting around picking up your phone at $22 or $25 an hour for 5 days a week is just not economical. So this is kind of like the game changer where you can hire someone up front for 3 days a week and then have Corey's team cover all the rest of the days at a dollar per call or whatever the dollars per call, whatever that number is way more economical. So that to me, that's the game changer, right? So do you find that startups are following that model? Is that the biggest ROI in your mind? Because I mean, I hope I'm not answering it, but I just want to have a discussion around the ROI of the situation.
Answering service is a no-brainer as long as the quality and the scheduling is done to the practice standards.
Okay.
Doesn't matter if you have one person or two persons. There are just, if you look at call patterns during the day, if you look at a, you know, up and down curve, there's just fluctuations of calls during the day that one or two people cannot handle. Mm-hmm. And so how do you have a service that operates as a fail-safe that can be answering all those calls, especially as you're new? We all know that if you call somewhere and they don't pick up, you call the next Google listing.
That's right.
And there's very little loyalty unless it's a direct patient referral, unfortunately, in our current society. And so it's all about being there when your patients need it. And that also allows you as a doctor to come in and have a morning huddle and know that your phones are still getting answered patients are still getting properly helped. The reality is if you look at all of dental practices, 32% of all phone calls during business hours go
32% unanswered. During business hours get missed?
Yep. Ugh. And that has been correlated by your Mango Voices, your Weaves. And so that is marketing dollars that are just rolling down the toilet.
Literally.
And it's hard to handle those patterns of calls when they spike and then they dip. Mm-hmm. There's no way to staff perfectly to that. And so we provide a service that helps maximize that at an efficient cost.
So are you guys open 24 hours? Is that no? Because that doesn't make sense to me. Picking up a phone call at 1 a.m. doesn't make sense, but go ahead.
We're open from 5 a.m. to 10 p.m. Okay. And the reality is, if I'm just brutally honest, we're open on the weekends and some later hours, not because it makes us a ton of money, but because practices, when we get calls on our sales line, dentists go, I need an after hours scheduling service. Mm-hmm. That is the farthest thing from the truth. When you look at the numbers, you need a during hours overflow service from a number of missed calls. Yeah. We're open 7 days a week because it is great from a marketing perspective. And there's no reason to not want to pick up a phone call at 3 p.m. on Sunday. The vast majority of work is done during normal business hours and peaks around three areas. When you open, that 8 to 9:30.
Okay.
When you're getting ready from lunch from 12:30 to 1:30. Because that's the day begins to wrap up.
Yeah, because that's when everybody else is taking lunch. You're taking lunch. Like if I was going to call and try to make a dental appointment, I'm going to call my lunch hour. Well, if all my dental clients, all the practice dental employees are taking a lunch, no one's picking up the phone. That makes total sense. Okay. So right in the morning, because people are like driving their kids to school or just all this stuff that was in their head last night, they're getting it offloaded first thing in the morning during lunch. And then what was the other one? Was it right after hours close?
No, right as the day begins to end. So 4 through 5:30, you do see a light spike. The biggest spikes are in those two sections in the morning. Your third biggest spike is as people head home for the day.
What I want people to understand is even if you have a team in place, they're missing calls today. You just said, what did you say? 32%, right?
32%.
32%. So they're, if they're missing those calls and you have coverage, it's not necessarily your team. It's just not missing a call ever, which is to me the ROI on that. And you're exactly right. The marketing dollars that go into pulling these calls in is literally like burning dollars if you miss the call because they're calling the next Google listing, to your point. It's hard.
And it is amazing to look at the data. 14% of new patients, if they call a practice and go unanswered, will leave a voicemail. So a lot of people are like, oh, doc, we don't miss a lot of calls. We had 3 voicemails yesterday. Yeah. Don't look at voicemails. Look at number of missed calls. And the last thing that I would note is people have no clue the loyalty that is built when you help people out in a time of need from a patient perspective. So years ago, when I was starting Reach, we were moving office buildings one night. And I bought a Domino's pizza on my way home.
Okay.
Of course, the best pizza out there. I took my first bite into that pizza and my tooth fell out.
Okay.
Front tooth.
Oh.
And the next day I was supposed to speak to some front office rocks users with Laura Hatch. And I'm like, the worst community to show up to in the world.
With a tooth missing. Yeah.
And I looked like a damn pirate. And I mean, I literally stayed up all night long. The business is brand new. I'm like, I can't cancel.
What did you do? What did you do?
I called around dental practices early in the morning and finally got a hold of one close to me at maybe 7:05 and probably even slightly earlier than that. And they're like, hey, I'll get a hold of the doctor. We're going to get you in. And they saw me by 8:50 and by 9:30, we were good to go. And the reason I say that story is I still go to that same dentist today
because
he helped me in a time of need. So
great story.
Build processes that allow you to build loyal patients. And now my family goes to the same practice. And this is not a hoity-toity story. It's like he legitimately helped me out in a moment of panic.
Totally.
And there's so many people that have extreme pain or a root canal or need teeth whitening before their big wedding day, 3 days before.
Yeah.
That's what services like this can do and can drive.
I love it. So I do want to get to some of the other services because I think there's a lot of value here, like recall. And I actually am getting some questions live here because we're live, but I'll bring one of those in here in a second. But real quick, any statistics on new patient missed calls? You said 32 of all calls get missed. I heard a statistic once that 33% of all new patient calls get missed. Any other fun statistics that you have that might be alarming to the audience? I mean, as a consultant, you almost want to throw up in your mouth when you hear some of this stuff. But it's like our clients are very driven by numbers and statistics. And so just those two, 32% all are, what did you say? Yeah, 33% of all new patients get missed. You said 32% of all calls get missed. So it's about the same, right?
Yep. And we've seen that number from the last 5 years. We track it every year. Fluctuate between 29 and 33%.
Wow. Any others that are fun? Like how many on average, what convert? Do you have that? How many of all the calls that come in, just in general, how many convert?
Oh, into new patients? That's actually a really good question that you could do a whole episode on. Yeah. It is so dependent on the office's quality of marketing. Because right. there's okay. one thing oh, to say, we drove a lot of leads and we drove a lot of calls. Mm-hmm. Were they the right insurance? Mm-hmm. Did the practice have the availability to schedule? So that's actually one of our more wider varying numbers. I wish there was more rhyme or reason, but it really does depend on practice availability and the quality of opportunities that are coming in.
So we've done a lot of mail for our startups and right out of the gate. And we find that a good converting ratio is 60 to 70% of all new patient calls. If it's lower than 60 to 70% of the new patient calls, then there could be something broke. Right. But you're right. I mean, with that statistic, it kind of goes into what you just said is if 60% of all new patients get converted, that means 40% might not have the right insurance or whatever. It might not just not be a good fit.
Okay. We see the numbers range from 35% to 80%.
Yeah, it is that. I've seen that range on the mailers because our mailing houses actually track converting. They don't take the calls, but they actually track mail to someone's house to picking the phone up to missed calls. We got percentages on missed and then to converting. And you're right. A practice that's not doing a good job is in the 40s and a practice doing really good job is in the 60s, 70s. So you're right. That is a pretty big range.
One thing that I do want to note, you asked for some additional statistics. What do people see if the service works well? At the end of the day, we're all in a business of ROI. If a practice is working well with us in our partnership. Uh-huh. And they spent $100 in a given month. They should expect to see at a minimum an 8X, but we believe we're doing a better job at a 12. And instead of just saying those numbers, we need to go in there, run those numbers every month, and then provide a comprehensive report to earn the partnership going forward. So if a practice then spends $1,000, we would expect to be driving $12,000 in production and collections from those appointments that we scheduled.
That's huge. That's absolutely huge. And of course, it probably varies on the type of specialist and all that good stuff.
Medicaid, the availability of the practice. But if you look at our averages, they're right between 10 and 12.
Wow. That's a
cool. I'm concerned personally when we dip below an 8.
Oh, wow. Okay. Nice. And that's an annual value or per visit type statistic?
That's taking our spend monthly versus the production and collections that come in from the appointments we schedule.
Oh, okay. Wow. Nice. 10 to 12. Cool. All right. Let's flip now. I mean, we're 30 minutes in, but let's just take it to like ancillary services. Cause I am a big fan of third-party services because of no payroll, taxes, no benefits. It's always performance. Your employees can't call in sick. Corey's got you 100% of the time. I mean, there's so many employee issues, anxiety. Oh my gosh. I mean, I could just keep going on and on about why our team members do not perform, why they don't show up, why they're unreliable, why they might be overpaid, bad attitude, not an owner's mentality. And of course, Corey's team's going to have a little bit of that. I mean, come on, let's be honest. He's managing 300 people. But in general, if their whole job is to convert and be pleasant, and Corey's listening to the calls and he's got, actually, is that something you have as a quality control center where you're or someone's listening to those calls? Is that?
Yeah.
Because of course you're going to listen to some bad calls and alert you and let you know. Right. But I mean, what's the process for that real quick?
A minimum of 4 to 8 calls per week are listened to by our quality control team. We grade on a 34-point rubric. Wow. For them to get their commission, such as booking those new and existing patients, they have to hit a minimum quality standard. as part of that process. And then also, we're not using the grading process to break people, but to build people so that they can take their commission and their service to the next level. So we have a full training team and a full quality and control team that just focuses on getting people on the right foot before they ever hit the phone, and then helping us always hold to the highest standard.
See, this is exactly why you would consider third-party services, because he has that whole system, training, grading, commission, all of that on performance of taking calls. Your front office person has to insurance verify, they have to sell treatment, they have to post payments, they have to submit claims, they have to pick up the phone calls. They've got to just maybe run over and do perio charting as a startup. They've got to do all this stuff. Is it hard for you guys to think that maybe Corey's team would be better at picking up the phone and converting? Of course, it just makes natural sense. So let's flip this over to like a service like Recall or recalling. Maggie, actually, one of our marketing folks, gal, she popped in a question. I think it's a great question. Here it is, Corey. So are there common challenges that dental offices face when it comes to recall scheduling, and how can those be overcome? So now we're talking about a different service, right? Do you guys do recare calls for the for the offices?
That's one of our main services beyond call answering. Well,
let's talk about it. This is awesome. Go ahead.
So this is a pay for performance. We only get paid if we book an appointment here, which I think is an easier pill to swallow. We call in the ideal hours. Pre-COVID, those were about 4 to 7:30 at night when people were actually home. COVID's flattened that scale slightly, where people are often more home in the day, but we still have a lot of our resources from 5 to 7:30 where we can reach people when they're home, when they have an availability to chat, and when a dental office is usually not going to call them.
Yeah. So let me hold that. Let me preframe here. You guys are calling active patients and trying to get them back on the schedule, and you are calling in the hours that are most successful to the patient, not convenient for the practice, right?
Yep.
Because what happens is what? Like dental assistants are running around and doing all these things and front office doing all these things. And then we get a cancellation. We got an hour of a free minute. And that just happens to be maybe at 2 p.m. when everybody's working and your success rate is terrible to make recare calls. So maybe hire Corey and his team to smile and dial during the hours that make the most sense. Yeah.
100%. And the interesting thing is, if you look at most practice management softwares, 56% of all patients are overdue. The thing that I think, if I were a practice owner myself, before I come in and sing the bell, now startup is different here, but before I come in and sing the bell of new patients, is do we have a system where most of our existing patients are coming back? Those are the patients who get additional treatment, who show up to those appointments. That's who you should be nurturing first. And so we're calling them and saying, hey, Dr. Smith noticed you were overdue, and we have an availability this coming Tuesday and Thursday at 11:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. When works best for you? Not just a text. Now, you want to still do text and email, but I'm all about how do you have as little slippage in your funnel as possible, so that you're driving the most efficient practice possible, not 100% perfect, but that when you then enter new patients into the system, you've got a system that takes care of them in perpetuity, and they're a long-term patient going forward.
Hell yes. Yes. I love that. That's nailed it. So you answered Maggie's question perfectly. It's really getting the most out of all the tools that you have. And this is a great tool. Miss Paula, my partner, asked, so you guys schedule. So that's the first question is, do you schedule? And are you familiar with all PM? Of course, Paula asked this question because she's all things operations and helps our clients set up the systems and the protocol. So this is where her brain goes. I love it. Do you guys actually do the scheduling, and are your people familiar with PMS if they do?
Yep. We do all scheduling into the practice management software. Again, we don't want to be a glorified answering service. Now, we only work with about 80% of the practice management software. So all of your big players.
Oh, only 80%. No big deal. Yeah. There's a lot of them, by the way.
EagleSoft, the smaller nuanced ones, we don't.
Yeah. Cloud, right? Cloud this, cloud that. Everybody, every brother and their mother has a cloud PMS version that everybody's super excited about. Don't get me going on cloud services right now, but essentially you guys are pretty familiar with the big boys, of course, Open Dental, EagleSoft, Dentrix. But then there's some cloud versions and some things that are pretty common. So I'm assuming you guys are pretty comfortable with that. But
we do Ascend, we do Denticon, we do Curve on our cloud side. To give quality to our customers, we have to minimize the amount that we have to train our team on. Because if they had to be aware of 17 different practice management softwares, we would diminish our value.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, so Ms. Paula jumps back in and says, she may have missed this part, but how fast, if they were going to onboard you, how fast could you onboard them? So like I'm a startup and you said you wanted... you said it's a good idea to bring you guys in 4 weeks before they open. So how, let's say they call you late, how fast can you jump in and start rolling?
From the day that we hold the kickoff call, we're live in a minimum of 5 business days. Now, sometimes quicker, just depends on, you know, working with the phone company and getting access through IT. But that maximum time frame generally for us is 5 business days.
Okay. That's great. That's great. I, you know, it's not something that we normally throw in, but like setting you guys up earlier on, what's the pitfalls of that, Corey? Because I think we think when we turn on marketing, that's when we need to have Corey and reach going. But like with your pay structure, and we didn't get into it, and I don't want to quote you too much on the program, but I guess I'm thinking if it's a cost per call, I mean, what are the downsides? Are they paying a lot of money before they're even open? Because that's where my head goes. Are you with me with this conversation?
Not a significant amount. If I were to call out, and this is answering your question to the side, the biggest pitfall that can take place from having an answering service is still having your staff expected to pick up as many phone calls as possible. So what you don't want them doing is you've started your practice and they know they've got a third party scheduler behind the scenes. If they have that availability, they should be that frontline because we cost money when we pick up. And so what we don't want to do is overburden unnecessary cost. If there's available people, we should only be used when people are busy or unavailable to get to the phone.
Yeah. I see. So if you have coverage at the office and they pick it up, we're good, no cost. But if someone misses it or it's outside the hours, it'll cost them. But that's perfect because you're utilizing the, I guess you're catching the slippage. So I love that. That's fantastic. So is there a monthly? And you don't have to answer the specific amount because it could be changed. Podcasts kind of exist forever. You know, people listen to my episodes from 4 years ago. So I don't want you necessarily to quote numbers because it could change and all businesses do change and they deserve to change with inflation and all that. But is there a monthly plus a call cost? Is that the model?
Yes. We do have a small monthly fee that covers the reporting and the portal and all of that. It's less than $100 a month. But yes, there is a small monthly fee.
Right on. All right. That's cool, man. Look, we've been at 38 minutes. That means this episode's been intriguing for me. I like to do these 35. We're over, and that's because you're a great interviewer here, Cora. Anything else that you want to give my audience, my friends out there? Is there a give? Don't feel like you have to, but like some people provide like documents or case studies or maybe a training document we can attach to the description below or anything big give or any last minute words of advice before we shut this bad boy down?
We've got some best practices that we're more than happy to provide in white pages that we could provide to you and your team,
awesome.
Michael.
Let's do it.
Second thing is if someone is interested, we are more than willing to provide a $250 credit to get started. I believe we have to earn people's business. And so if we can do a lot of that initial work on our dime and build a relationship, It's an easier way to get started.
Oh, cool. Dude, very grateful for that. I started the episode with grateful. I'm ending it with grateful. So $250 credit to you guys. How do you, do we just do hashtag or promo code Michael? So you, or Startup Unscripted of some sort. So they know it came from the program. Something like that.
We pre-arranged this today. So if you mention it to our sales team, they are aware of it and we'll be honoring it for the next 90 days.
Sweet. 90 days. That's awesome. Okay. So folks, take advantage of that. Corey was in the giving mood today. Last question. And one of our practice management coaches, Nicole, how often are the analytics updated and delivered? Is that through the portal? So it's kind of on demand, it sounds like.
It's on demand. And then our end of month holistic ledger summary comes once a month. But in terms of patient interactions, who's getting scheduled, all of that is live in the moment.
Dude, I can't think of a better service for these startups because, again, they need coverage. There's opportunities walking in the door. There's tons of marketing dollars being spent. I mean, it's just on and on. And so DSOs are hiring you guys. And I always think like if DSOs are doing it, probably makes sense if it makes sense, right? Like I know that contradicted, so, but not everything the DSOs do makes sense. But when it comes to business, sometimes you have to really consider it. And third-party billing, insurance verification, which I know you guys do, picking up the phone call, missed calls, phone coverage, Recare. I can't get my offices to do more Recare calls. I love that service. So if you want to learn more about Reach, you got to get a hold of Corey and his team. We'll put all of that information below. And man, thank you so much. I feel like we all learned something today. And it sounds like there's this pretty big promotion that I want folks to take advantage of as well. So thanks for being a part of this.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
All right, man. Feel better. Happy holidays.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Thanks.